Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo. John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch out, throw! This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name's Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and compatriot in crime, the one and only John Romano. John, I just got back from my trip out to Michigan and Colette's relatives that I have to required to do once every 6 months.
Kid Rock is from Michigan, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a Detroit guy.
Yeah. So you got that to, you know, you got that.
Well, we're not really that close to Detroit, which is a good thing, I think, because it's not like the kind of cool place to hang out like New York City is.
Yeah, especially since it was the subject matter for that new History Channel series called After Humans.
Oh, really?
They're using Detroit as, the fall of the auto industry, what it's going to be like, 50, 75, 100, 100, 150, 1,000, years after humans, and they're just showing, Detroit crumbling.
It's crumbling now, so it's terrible. The unemployment, I think, rate there is like 18% or something like that. I was talking
crazy.
To all her uncles, worked for GM, Ford, all that.
Yeah.
Some of them still do, but a lot of them got laid off. And it's kind of a bad, if you had a lot of money, or you have any money, I should say, and you want to, and your job really doesn't, or how you make your living doesn't really depend on where you live, you can buy a freaking mansion in Michigan right now and, for pennies on the dollar. Maybe that's where we should move all our operations to Michigan, maybe.
I'd go anywhere, man. for a good deal, I'd go anywhere.
My dad wasn't
Houston, outside of Houston, you get smoking deals too right now.
Yeah, but you can get a mansion like on the lake probably for like a couple hundred grand, and that would normally be millions.
We should do that and make like a species compound, and it's like divvy it up, and have like some common areas and then some like sort of outbuildings that are like where we. Each of us have our little families, and we'll just close ourselves in, arm ourselves to the teeth, and wait for Armageddon. at the rate celebrities are dropping, man, maybe the freaking end is near.
The funny thing is, Colette mentioned something similar to that, except she says we should just all move to Manhattan and get a huge loft. I said, what? So I could live in a closet, as my room, my bedroom.
Well, that was our original. That's the original plan. But of course, we know how cost prohibitive that is.
Exactly. She's like, we can get a huge place. I said, yeah, but we'll all have our own room. It'll be like in a hotel room. You have like your own little your own suite. In a suite, you have your own little like cubby hole. I don't need
to. This is what I wanted to do in Mexico, and if I could get anybody to go along with me, this was the deal. Let's say three couples or three family units go in on this property, right? What you build is you build a common area main house, and that's got like living room, dining room, kitchen, probably maybe a couple guest rooms or a game room, a theater room, and all that is in that main house. And then you have these little bridges that go connect to these little houses that have like bedrooms in them.
Right.
So you have like a maid and whatever, and she's doing the cooking and the cleaning and the main thing. And we got Diego going and running. No, Diego's running food back and forth across the bridges to the little offshoot houses. And they're like these little self-contained little houses, but they have no kitchen and no they're just like bedrooms. And you would congregate in the main house, and I call kind of like live in. We had a recording studio in there. It'd be really cool.
I don't know if I want to live in Mexico. Sorry.
No, we'll do it in Michigan. We'll do the same concept, but we'll do it in Michigan.
Well, from what her uncle tells me, we wait one more year. It's going to get worse, he said, for another 2 years. He's predicting 2013, he said, it's going to get great again. So he's like, you should buy in 2011, he told me.
I'm telling you, man, we get a place with a big walls all around, like a big gate, and you go inside, and it's like RX land, and that's it's true. Just like our rules, and do whatever we want.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to. You never know. By then, we could be ruling the world, or we could be in the toilet bowl. Who knows?
Who knows?
Speaking of toilet bowls,
can only hope.
We had a lot of deaths this past week, John, and obviously the most notorious of them all was Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was trying to think the other day. I was listening to, they had a radio tribute to him. Like, they were going through all his songs and how he, you know, came up with them. And, you know, they were talking about him and Quincy Jones and how they wrote Billie Jean. It was based on, you know, Groupie Girls. And, you know, they give the little history behind every song. And I was thinking, you know, if Michael Jackson didn't die probably at 50, who knows how wacky he would have gotten probably in the next 10 years or 15 years. And he might have ruined his own legacy. So in his essence, I think he kind of preserved his legacy by dying younger.
Maybe, or, you know, just maybe that he was just so gifted and so amazingly talented and was able to put it out there that he just used up all his time early, you know? Mm. I mean, he made the comment. Lisa Marie was quoted as him making the comment to her when they were together, you know, after Lisa Marie's father, you know, when they were talking about how Elvis died. He made the comment that, you know, that's how probably how he's going to go. And it apparently it looks like same sort of drugs were involved.
And as soon as I heard he died, I knew it was drugs. I knew it had nothing to do with cardiac arrest because it just didn't make sense. And our good friend Lou Ferrigno was training him to get him in shape for his world tour he had planned. So I don't think it was suicide, that's for sure.
No, I don't think so either. I think, you know, there was funny. There was this cardiologist dude in attendance, the guy whose BMW they impounded. And supposedly Michael's private doctor or private cardiologist, whatever he needed that for. Obviously, he needed him for something.
Probably
unless
for
he was
prescription
just the
drugs.
Feel good. Yeah, the prescription guy. And, you know, it was funny. People were actually blaming Louie. Yeah, Louie, you know, you trained him to death or whatever. It's not even the case, you know. And actually, you know, there's even people speculating that, you know, there were other things involved, other kinds of drugs. And it's really weird, you know, to hear the newscasters talking about, you know, how there was no indication of this in Michael's life. He was getting ready for this tour. He was, you know, supposedly in good health. He had just passed a physical for the record company. Lou Ferrigno was training him. Mm-hmm. You know, how could this guy have, you know, been so sick that he wouldn't have needed a, you know, in light of all of that, a private cardiologist to be on hand?
I think it was a private, you know, doctor to write him prescriptions. But what was Lou, how did they actually get in touch with Louie? I wonder why they picked Lou Ferrigno to train Michael Jackson.
I think, I might be wrong, but Michael sought out Louie. And I think it was because, you know, Louie's a comic book character and, you know, Michael Jackson's Peter Pan.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, they kind of gravitated towards each other.
Right. You would think he would come up with, like, some skinny, like, you know, trainer of the stars, you know, to get to train with him. But I think it was cool that Louie was actually the guy they chose.
Louis raved about him as a person. He thought he was just the nicest guy that he ever met in his entire life. Just good meaning, good natured, just a genuine, sweet guy. And you know, Louis.
Did he give Louis rides on his? Did he give Louis rides in the Neverland on like all the rides and stuff? Imagine Michael Jackson and Louis Ferrigno going for like Ferris wheel and all the crazy rides he had out there.
No, Michael would go to Louis's house. Michael would train him at. Yeah, Louis has his private gym in the back there, and Michael would come over.
Is it a nice gym?
It's awesome. Yeah, he is. It was a very big garage, like maybe like a 4-car garage, and very big. And I would probably say it's, you know, 1,000 or it's, I think it's 1,015 or 1,500 square feet. It's decent size,
right?
For a home gym, anyway. And it's packed. He's got like the best piece of every piece of equipment in there. It's really an amazing little place.
Can you imagine Louis Ferrigno's kids saying, telling their friends, "Yeah, Michael Jackson's at the house now, being trained by my dad." You know,
Michael Jackson's hanging out
now. Yeah. I don't know if you knew this though, John, but Jeff, the producer, is actually an illegitimate child of Michael Jackson. Did you know that?
No, really? This is absolutely true. I'm still trying to figure out who the other father is.
I see sort of a resemblance.
I do too sometimes, you know. They have kind of the same voice, you know.
It's their skin color.
Can he? I don't know. Can Jeff dance?
He's been doing some. He's been standing in for Derek on webcam a couple nights a week. So.
Where's Derek been?
Derek just to get the root canal, you gotta remember. So he's kind of laying low a little bit. So.
He's a little testy lately. He's been flying off the handle lately. Like, I called him out on our message board, and on the main board, I just posted a picture of my calf and told him, beat that.
Derek's got some pretty big calves, you know, so I don't know if you're going to, that was a wise thing to do.
And if you look on the thread, I actually posted my calves, Juan. Did you see my response to you?
Yeah, I did. Diego got in there. Diego got his his diamond cutters
in
there.
If you take two of my calves, you actually have one Jeff calf.
Well, you know, the cattle in Mexico is typically, you know, smaller anyway.
That's
so
true. That's true.
But he's got some good shaved calves, Diego.
Well, you know, he has to, you know, push the plow every day, every morning to, you know, till the crops and everything.
He's picking up the horse shit.
You know, when I used to go to school in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, John, I always knew I was in Lancaster County when all of a sudden this permeating smell of horse shit or cow shit came in through the windows, whether you had them open or not. And I just, when you got that smell, you just said, all right, I'm back to school, back in Lancaster. And, you know, when I first got there, it was almost to the point where you could not take how bad the smell was. I'm like, don't you guys smell this stuff? They like to get used to it. I'm like, there's no way I'm getting used to this because I'm very keen on smells. And, after a couple of weeks there, you forget about it. So,
well, we were spent the night. I was on a road trip up north toward Canada somewhere. And we came to this little teeny tiny town in the middle of the night on like a little river. And there was a paper mill on the other side of the river. And it was about, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning when we pulled in, you know, everything's kind of closed down and we're really tired. We just wanted to get a few hours sleep, get back on the road. And we get a room in this hotel and fall asleep. And about 3 hours later are awakened to this most horrendous stench you could ever imagine in your entire life. It smelled so bad it woke us out of a total dead sound sleep. It was everywhere. You couldn't escape it. And it was the paper mill. There was something in the process of the paper mill that made this horrendous smell, and it just permeated the entire little town. And we were down in the lobby checking out, and tears running down our eyes, trying to get out of there as fast as we can. And these people are like, yeah, every morning it's like this. You get used to it.
They all had six fingers too, right?
It's weird as hell. I'm telling you, that was the most pungent, horrible smell I've ever smelled in my life. Mm-hmm. And they were just kind of like hanging out.
Yeah, I guess you get used to anything after a while. That's
yeah.
Well, we also had a couple other sad deaths. We obviously had Farrah Fawcett passed away this past weekend, and she succumbed to cancer. And unfortunately, you know, she left, you know, these are icons that we grew up with, John, probably maybe me more than you because,
I had that. I had that poster of Farrah Fawcett on the ceiling of my bedroom over my bed when I was, you know, 14.
That Farrah Fawcett poster sold more copies, I think, than any poster in the history of creation, pretty much.
She was smoking hot. Those early toothpaste commercials and those that one shaving cream commercial that she did with Joe Namath when she was like just starting out.
Right.
She was hot, man. She was a really beautiful, sweet sounding, really nice looking, you know, actress.
And married to one of my favorite guys, the $6 million man. I mean, it was like, that was like the dream couple at the time. It was like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, you know, now.
Exactly. It was on that level. It sure was. And we had her and Ed McMahon. He died, Johnny Carson's sidekick.
Yeah, and no more. Here's Johnny.
Yeah, nobody.
Jeff probably can do that better than I could, but.
Right.
No, you know, I'm mourning his loss. I wouldn't want to upset the guy. He just died, right, John?
Well, that's honoring him,
there you go. Now, isn't that better, Jeff?
I'm learning.
Don't you feel better in your soul?
Yes,
you should.
I feel it rising.
No,
yes.
Just you get all these, you know what? You just get all these people dying, and you like, you know, you just start thinking about stuff, you know? I mean,
you're planning,
I can't help it.
You're planning on offing yourself?
Well, no, but they're coming out of nowhere.
I'm not putting
on
my credit for you. You're going to kill yourself.
What about what's the other guy today who just died?
Billy Mays from the OxyClean ads.
I mean, come on. That's out of nowhere.
50 years old. Hey, you're approaching 50.
How old is he?
He's 50, Billy Mays. So is Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Ed McMahon was a lot older than that. I think Farrah Fawcett was 50, too.
No, she was 66.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
She was that old?
Yeah.
Wow. How old was she back in the 70s?
She looked amazing. She was young, but she looked amazing. Well, do the math. Jeff should be able to do the math. any thinking statistics, figures, or looking things up is Jeff's job.
That's his
job,
right? Right. Once I took calculus in school, I stopped doing math, addition and subtraction. I lost those skills.
Me too.
Well, I let's get away from all the death in the industry. Let's go to some of the fun stuff in the industry. I got a copy of Dave and Dave Pusinella's newest training video, Raising the Bar 3, which was shot by his brother Mike Pusinella. And you know, I was skeptical before watching it because I said, you know what, the first one was really good. The second one was kind of like a continuation of the first one, so it was good, but it wasn't as enjoyable to me. Even though I was in the second one because they did a tribute to my friend Anthony DiRezzo, who passed away because Dave was actually in that show that Anthony was going to do. And when Raising the Bar 3 came out, I'm like, what the hell did they got left to do? But it was kind of like the grand finale of Dave Pusinella's, you know, competitive career. He retired at the end of it. And it showed his personal relationships with women. I thought it was the best one of all of them. I got to give you a copy of it. Yeah, it's phenomenal. Really good.
Sort of more like kind of like the personal side of him than the training side.
And it looks into what Dave gave up over the course of his entire life for the sport of bodybuilding and relationships that he lost. And, you know, how he almost turned pro. He won the heavyweight class at the North American Masters competition, but he lost the overall right at the end. And, you know, but he's at peace with himself. You know, he took his body as far as it can go. He's making a living from bodybuilding, what he loves doing, and, you know, helping other people. And he's got a new relationship going with some 20-year-old girl. So, I mean, life's good for Dave.
Cool.
So I'm gonna.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, if anyone wants to, you know, get a copy, I advise you go out and it's probably one of the best training videos on the market because it's actually a story. And Mike Pusinella must have spent 100 million hours editing this thing. It's really tight.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I hope we get a copy soon.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to tell him to send you one, or I'll send you mine. But the 4th of July is coming up. Obviously, by the time this show airs. We'll be even closer. But I got to tell you, you know, I was hoping to get a nice weekend off because, you know, I was in Michigan this past weekend. Next weekend, I'm hoping, all right, you know what, I'm going to get a free weekend. Everyone's, like, inviting themselves over to my house for 4th of July. It's like, I'm like the hangout, the bringing. This guy calls me, like, I got fireworks. This one's like, well, what are you doing? You know, I have a feeling it's going to turn into a big fiesta at my house.
So. A fiesta?
Well, Dave, you have the perfect house for 4th of July. I mean, you got the deck in the back on the water. I mean, you can shoot fireworks right off your deck. I mean, over the water. That'd be awesome.
Now, if Max was here, I'd be like, yeah, no problem. Because, you know, kids love the fireworks thing. All little boys are pyromaniacs at heart.
He walks around with a lighter, that, you know, big lighter that's used up, you know, only the sparks come out, and he's like flicking it constantly, you know, and seeing how many he can roll it, you know, on the floor to see if we can get more sparks to come out. It's like dying to blow something up constantly.
Kids love that stuff. I don't know why they just do.
His heart rate goes up when we pass down here. They got the tents they put up and they sell fireworks, you know, on the side of the road. Right. He gets palpitations when we go by. They're not even set up yet, you know, when he wants to go over there. Last year I spent $280 at that one of those places.
That's not even that bad.
But none of it was like really good explosives. It was all like sparklers and shit, you know. It was not, you know, anything that you would call fireworks with any kind of gleam in your eye, you know. It was just kind of like glorified sparklers.
The guy who's coming over my house wants to bring like $3,000 worth of fireworks he bought, so I can only imagine.
Fireworks.
Real fireworks.
Yeah, get him over there, man. Don't you love that? You don't like fireworks?
I used to get off on it. I don't know if I want to blow the shit out of my backyard this year. So,
you know, they're big in Mexico, and then anytime somebody has a party in Mexico, they shoot off these huge, giant firework displays. And then where my house was up on a cliff. I was like 300 feet up off the ocean. Right. And the resorts that were at the bottom would shoot the fireworks straight up the canyon to where, like, my house was. Right. And they would blow up outside my window at eye level. It was the most amazing thing. You hear these big explosions, and you see fireworks at eye level. I've never seen that.
That's pretty cool.
Never seen it that way before.
That is pretty cool. Except if it goes in your window, you know, and blows the shit out of your fucking bedroom.
That was set back enough. That wouldn't happen. But
Diego probably could light the fireworks off, right?
It takes a lot of sticks and a lot of wood, but I will eventually get it lit.
No, we have to put him on one of those refugee rafts out in the waterway there.
He'll be shooting him back at my house like a retard.
No, and he shoots him over the ocean, like from a barge, right. You know?
We don't have fireworks. I just take matches and throw them in the air. It's very pretty.
No, we'll give you the fireworks. We'll send you out there on a raft, and you can just light them off in the middle of the ocean.
Can I ride one of the rockets?
Oh, man.
You can strap them to your legs.
Exactly. Well, John, in the news, there's a story I read about a mother of a 555-pound boy. Okay? Teenage boy, obese. She is being charged with neglect to her son.
Good. Excellent.
Isn't this pretty interesting, because this is occurring in South Carolina, and by the age of 14, Alex Draper grew to a dangerous 555 pounds, and the state stepped in and they took the kid away from her.
14 years old, you said?
Yeah, what do you think about that? I mean, I'm almost in favor of the whole thing.
I am too. Congratulations, law enforcement finally did something good. Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's a good move, right? That's child abuse, what they're doing to them. Some parent is enabling that kid to be that weight at 14 years old. Come on. That's criminal.
I mean, I was listening to an expert talk about this, and you know what? They said exactly what I've said over and over again. Stop freaking feeding the kid.
Yeah.
If you shut the kid's mouth, he's not going to gain any more weight.
You know, you see those horrible stories, those obese people that are so overblown, overgone, they're bedridden.
Yeah.
They're in bed, they're 600 pounds, they're 700 pounds.
This kid's 14.
And that's the direction he's going. He's not getting any smaller. The kid's going to be bedridden. Then who's enabling him? Who's bringing him the freaking Fritos and dip? You know? who's doing that?
Well, you know, we had Dr. Scott Conley on last week, and we were talking about these super obese people. And, you know, this kid could probably be completely saved if they just put him on the right foods. Instead of feeding him, you know, Coke and ice cream all day, give the freaking kid a couple whey protein shakes, you know? It's just unbelievable, this thing. Unbelievable.
You'll attest to this because you know. People in our little world here always discount food. It's always what supplements are you taking, what drugs are you doing, what protocol are you following. No one realizes that the most powerful drug any of us toy with on a daily basis is food.
Mm, you're right.
You know,
well, food
you
is, can do is you a can, drug if you use it right.
It is a drug. Of course, you can use it the right way or you can use it the wrong way, and you can make amazing changes in your body just by manipulating food.
Mm. You're right. Well, I think once you get out of here, we got to start doing some food and cooking segments, because everyone's been asking about that. So,
yeah, we should definitely do it. Me and Colette.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could have even different people. We could have the
Carlo. We could get Carlo.
Yeah, we could have the Jeff, the producer, night. You know, where he can do one of his recipes. I could do one of my recipes. And
Diego, I wonder what Diego
can whip up some Colombian food, right? Right, Diego.
It's going to be fantastic. I cannot wait for this one.
Derek Anthony probably has a recipe, I'm sure.
I got a lot of fucking recipes for fucking Juliana, let me tell you.
Boy, speaking of recipes.
Derek could bring Juliana. Maybe Juliana could make some Brazilian food. Yeah, what do you think,
true.
Derek?
Maybe we make some fucking Brazilian food out of Juliana, eh? That would be a fucking plate I'd eat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, speaking of food, John, I was at Colette's parents' house this past weekend, and you know, Colette likes to leave the caps off of things. I think we've talked about this before.
But
her mother is kind of like me. You know, she puts everything in the right place. And so I was making something at, like, everyone goes to sleep early in the parents' house. So it must have been 1 in the morning. They must have been sleeping for a few hours already. And I'm trying to be very, very quiet. And I grab the balsamic vinegar, which, of course, you know, by the top, because it's like it's in a remote place and I have to grab it. Of course, the top's not on right. It comes flying out of my hands. It hits the fucking kitchen floor. Balsamic vinegar is everywhere. And I know who left the cap off it. It's Colette,
of
obviously.
Course.
I can't yell or curse or anything because there's no one awake except for me. So I start going over all the things that I know she's touched that day, you know, in the house. You know, the protein, the diet soda, the water in the refrigerator, and every single thing has got a cap off of it and unscrewed. Or actually, she puts it like one screw on, so it looks like it's on. But if you pick it up or use any pressure whatsoever, it just pops off. Every spice in the spice rack, nothing's closed. So if you knock anything over, it's going everywhere.
She's in such a hurry, that girl. I mean, she's always, it's 100 miles an hour. She can't even screw the cap on.
It's baffling. I can't figure it out. It's, my grandmother would say it's a disease, but I don't know.
No, it's just that she's in a hurry. Yeah. She's got to go.
I guess, yeah. It's a lot
I mean, how much time she would wait? Look at all the time she saves not screwing those extra two turns.
And I have to spend triple the time cleaning up the mess.
Yeah, but that's your time. It's not her time.
She knows the cap's not on there, so, right? She doesn't have
right.
to.
She's got her economy going.
Well, usually I'm ready for it usually in our house, but I wasn't ready for it in our mother's house because, you know, I got faked out by the whole thing. I'm sure our mother's going to discover a few more of the unscrewed caps over the next couple days and be cursing up a storm. So
my daughter did that with the 2-quart bottle of Crystal Light. I had the raspberry in there, the red one.
That's
and it's in the refrigerator. I yank it out and I always shake it, you know, before I pour it. I freaking shake it. It's bright red. It's that, what's that little bug they crush up and they get this red pigment out of it? That's deep, deep red color that's in there. And it was,
the tsetse fly?
I don't know. No, not tsetse fly.
Do you know what disease the tsetse fly carries?
Yeah, malaria.
Is it? No, that's the female Anopheles mosquito is malaria. The tsetse fly is, I'm trying to remember.
Carries one of those diseases.
Something like typhoid or something like that.
Typhoid. Yeah. Maybe it's typhoid.
Something like that. I'll look it up.
Dengue fever. I don't know, one of those.
Yeah, something like that. That may
I think
be
it's
it.
Dengue fever. Yeah.
Wow, you remember that stuff, huh, from school?
Tsetse fly. That was in some Humphrey Bogart movie. That was. I remember it from that.
Well, my last story of the day is I received an email from a guy, and this is I didn't make this up. I'm not making this up. This is 100%, you know, the email. He asks, "Hey, Dave, how's it going? My question is about accelerated rat growth." Now, he's not talking about rat gut like Rob Smalley gets. He's talking about rat growth. "I breed rats to sell to pet stores and feed stores for snake food. I have researched online about feeding rats, and I've learned that they can eat almost anything people can, except the foods and drinks that would cause gas, because rats cannot burp." I don't know if you knew that, John, that rats can't burp. But
you mean you can explode them from the inside?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm interested.
Feed them broccoli, and they'll just blow up.
Exactly. I'm interested in the possibility of mixing supplements in the water bottle, like maybe whey protein, to speed up their growth rate. Any help would be appreciated. Look, there's people that do everything in this world. I'm telling you, the guy probably makes good money selling rats to pet stores.
There was one on Discovery with Mike Rowe. He was disgusting jobs. He was in a leech farm. They were harvesting leeches.
Well, they used them medicinally, too, the leeches.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were doing. But, I mean, who devised a way to trap leeches? I mean, come on.
I don't know. Well, I guess the same guy who's been breeding rats for pet stores.
So this guy now, I knew somebody like that. I trained with a guy like that in Venice who worked at a medical lab supply place, and they supplied medical labs with animals, rats, rabbits. Yeah,
those have to be kept under very stringent, you know, conditions because of the fact that they use them for experiments. But this guy is selling them to basically be eaten, you know, for snake food.
Right.
So I basically told him I thought maybe, you know, some whey protein mixed in with the feed would probably be a good idea, because I believe they do that for the cattle, right? I heard they put whey protein now in the cattle feed too.
Yeah, they do actually.
So I recommend
methyl test too.
Methyl test, yeah, probably. Yeah, you know, probably a little Anadrol powder wouldn't hurt either. Although his rats may start.
Jack those rats up, man. He probably sells them by the pound if you can get them heavier.
They may start killing the snakes, though. You know.
Wow. Can you imagine if the rat, the snake, this big snake swallows the rat and then the rat breaks out?
Well, you know, usually when I used to have a snake, I had a Burmese python in college, and what they used to tell you is to kind of like whack the, you know, and I'm an animal lover, so it's hard for me to do this, but rats are so ugly that I really didn't have a problem you know, feeding the rats to the snake. I used to hate feeding the mice to the snake because the mice are kind of cute. But you kind of whack them on the head a little bit so they get a little dazed because they can hurt the snake if they bite them. You know, they have big teeth. But I remember.
So you had a Burmese python as a pet.
It's a good story, too. Yeah, I had him as a pet. I got him. I had worked in a pet store the year before I went to college. And so when I came back, I brought one. It was a baby had come in. It was probably maybe 11 inches long, and it was probably as thick as my finger. It looked like a little cute, little fun snake. 3 years later, the thing was like 6.5 feet long, and he was like about as thick as my wrist. He had grown quite a bit, obviously, during that time period. And the funny thing was...
Wait. You got your snake as a baby. Now, right. Did you, like, play with it all the time? Did you guys, like, bond?
Well, you know, like, see, the thing with the snake was I would just kind of, like, let him kind of, like, he would just wrap... if you've ever felt a constrictor snake, they're kind of cool because they're real muscular. They're kind of like bodybuilder snakes. And so you can feel the muscles contracting on you. And, you know, you let they're warm blooded. Excuse me, they're cold blooded. So you have to keep them near heat. So I would let him. You know, I'm always hot. So I would let him wrap around my arm or something like that while I was studying. He'd wrap around the light. You know, that I would use to study by. It was one of those stages I went through. You know, what am I going to do?
So you identified with a Burmese python.
Yeah. Well, you can't have
of choice.
You can't have a puppy in your dorm room. So. Fish,
but you can
boring.
Have a 6-foot-long freaking boa constrictor.
Burmese python, yes.
Python, whatever. Yep. Constrictor.
That's what I had. And actually, I was going to... When I was about to take my organic chemistry final, this is a true story, I was feeding him, you know, and I think it was on the telephone while I was dropping the mouse into this tank for the snake to grab him, and he missed. He missed the mouse, and he got my hand. And I don't know if I told this. I think I might have told this story. But when these snakes bite, they're not venomous, but they do have an anticoagulant in their saliva. And they have these, like, rear fangs. So when I finally got him off my hand, and he didn't know what he was doing, the wherever his teeth went into me would not stop bleeding. And I had to go take a test. And I had this, like, thing wrapped around my hand, and it was just filling up with blood every, like, 10 minutes. I had to keep getting another wrap around my hand. I look like I got bit by a vampire, you know.
Well, you got bitten by a snake instead.
Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't too happy.
So did you euthanize it after that?
No, it wasn't his fault. It was my own fault. They're dumb. Especially when they're about to shed their skin, they don't really see that well. So he missed. He missed it.
What became of this animal?
I actually, believe it or not, he got so big. I was in a pet store buying him some food, and there was a kid there looking at snakes. He's like, man, I love that snake. It's really expensive. I said, I got a snake. You want to buy it? And I took it to my house, and the kid's parents had some money, and I showed him the snake, and he's like, oh, I love that snake. And I gave it to him like half the price they were selling for at the store. So I actually, you know, I knew he'd give it a good home. The kid, he was really obsessed with them. And that was the end of
it. It just seems like such a strange animal to have as a pet.
It is. It is. It definitely is. It's about as strange
as thing. Then you went to dogs.
No, I went to cats after that, actually. I bred Persian cats, believe it or not, for about 6 years. Something, I don't know what, I always wanted to do. I don't know why. I just was kind of...
You bred Persian cats?
I bred
cats.
Them. I sold them. You know, it's funny because guys would come up to me in clubs in the 90s, and, you know, you would think they'd say, oh, you're Dave Palumbo, man. Yeah. They'd be like, I know you. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, how do you know? Oh, you sold me a cat. Like, you sold me my girlfriend a cat, like a year ago or 2 years ago. And, it's fine. I made decent money. I used to sell them for, you know, there were $600 kittens, those things.
There's nothing you won't sell.
That's right. That's how I developed my keen sense of business acumen, you know.
I got it. So then you went to dogs after the cats.
Then I went to dogs. Then I got the two little dogs, or the first dog, and I realized that I like dogs, you know, better than cats. Now, I always liked the cats because I'm lazy and I didn't want to go walk them, and I thought the litter box thing was really convenient. Mm-hmm. But when I discovered these little teacup dogs, I realized that they don't go outside. You put little pee-pee pads on the floor, and they use those kind of like a cat uses a litter box. So that kind of won me over on them.
You know, I was thinking of you the other day. I was in the airplane, and they had this that catalog, you know, you get in the back of the seat.
Right.
And they got this thing now. I thought of your dogs. it looks like a welcome mat, you know, but it's like AstroTurf on it, yeah. and it's built on kind of like a reservoir system that they, like, you know, do their little business on the grass, and it drips through into this collection pan underneath, and then, you know, you just dump that out at the end of the day instead of those little pads you have all over the floor.
Yeah, I mean, how much that stuff would stink. First of all, my dogs, if you took them outside, they'd run back inside to use the pee-pee pads. They don't even know what grass is. So it's not going to work for mine. But, you know, think about it. That thing must stink at the end of the day when the pee-pee goes through that grass.
No, it's apparent. No, it's got odors. It's like, oh,
bullshit.
It's engineered. What's an engineered thing?
The greatest thing about those pee-pee pads is you roll them up and you throw them in the garbage and they're done.
And at the same time, the worst part is the fact that you roll them up.
Yeah, well, the problem is sometimes they miss the pee-pee pads. That's the problem.
I know.
Jeff, you miss your pee-pee pads a lot, right?
Yeah, that's why you had to change them before we went on the show.
Jeff took a huge leak, and it leaked onto the floor. The pee-pee pad couldn't handle
it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, maybe you could send me that grass thing, John.
Yeah, that's what you need, is the grass thing.
Diego might. I think he uses that grass thing.
I have five of them. Do you think if one of them overflows? Don't laugh at me.
I could imagine Derek putting up with a girl with like a dog that needs like pee-pee pads on the floor.
I think he's got a dog with pee-pee pads, doesn't he?
I don't think so. Does he?
He used to have a chihuahua, didn't he?
No, Derek had a little femme dog like that.
I think he did, yeah. I'm pretty
don't
sure.
Don't fucking Derek. Call me a fucking faggot because I got a fucking small fucking dog fucking.
No one's calling you a faggot, Derek. Calm down.
You'll be a fucking hater, John. As a fucking go down to the fucking swamp, fucking kick your fucking ass.
Derek, are we going to Neptune's for the 4th of July?
Yeah, what the fuck? You call me a fucking liar? We're going to fucking Neptune's. We got to shoot the fucking fireworks off first. Then I'm going to shoot fucking Diego to the fucking moon.
Yeah. Derek doesn't think that Diego deserves a seat on the panel.
He's not on the fucking...
Really?
Where the fuck
how come?
Where the fuck did he come? He don't bring me no fucking food. He brings you food. He brings fucking this fucking... He don't bring me no fucking food. For now, fuck you.
Derek's in a very aggressive mood today.
Derek's very aggressive lately. I know.
Well,
very aggressive.
We have a really, really good show. I know I say that all the time, but I just sometimes we just seem to outdo ourselves every week. And I'm excited because, you know what? Kevin Levrone called me out of nowhere. Okay. And we'd been going back and forth because ever since he started this little transformation experiment he's doing, I said, Kevin, why don't you come on and tell us about it? And he kind of was like kind of blowing me off a little bit, but, you know, in a nice way because, you know, we're friends. And he's like, bah, I'm not ready. And out of nowhere, he called me up. He said, I'm ready. So I said, okay, let's get you on. So we're going to have Kevin Levrone on. We're going to find out the answers to some difficult questions that you and I have planned for him. And I think that I think our listeners are going to really enjoy it.
I think so, too. I mean, you know, Kevin is one of those guys that is just, you know, you could hear from him 10 years ago or you could hear from him today. And people haven't lost any desire to hear what he's got to say. He's as relevant today as he's ever been, which is, you know, a really good thing for Kevin.
Another thing he's got going for him is his body is still responding as quickly as it ever has because the guy has put on almost 25 pounds of muscle in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I got to ask him some questions because I'm frankly, I think he's using some secret sauce.
Oh, come on. I think so, too. But I mean, I hope not, but I think so, because it's more than the scale says, because his body composition changed as well. So, you know, he's put on a considerable amount of muscle and metabolized or mobilized an amazing amount of body fat. He looks completely different now in, what is it, 5 weeks?
He looks,
it's unbelievable.
In 5 weeks, he looks better than 99% of the people out there already. You know, anyone guys have been training for 20 years, he looks better than them, and he's been doing it for
right
5 weeks.
Right now. Yeah. And this is, what, 4 years he hasn't been to the gym at all.
I know.
At all.
I know. It's amazing. And then, well, we have one more guest. We have Johnny Jackson on, who, you know, a lot of the board members were getting on me, and we're like, how come you don't have Johnny Jackson on? And I said, you know what? I don't know. We never had him on. I realized that. So we got him on, and I think, and I know that the listeners are going to love this interview. Johnny really is a great character, and he really opened up to us. So I think it's going to be a great interview as well.
Yeah, definitely. Johnny's one of those guys that, you know, he's like a little secret weapon. You know, there's so much about him nobody knows, or that, you know, no one talks about. And then you talk to him and find out, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no,
and
I'm sure he'll
do that to us.
I learned stuff when I was talking to him, you know, before the interview. And I was like, wow, oh, this is pretty cool. So let's go to commercial break. And I guess when we come back, we get to our first guest.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then fuel your workouts with the great tasting and energy enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements. The science of sports nutrition has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com. The only supplement site you'll ever need.
RXMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RXMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RXMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
All right, John, our next guest is an icon in the industry. He's also a multi-title holder with over 20 victories in the pro ranks. Everyone knows him very well. He's been here before, and he's back, the one and only Kevin Livrone.
Hey, Dave. Hey, John.
All right.
What's up, Kev? What's up, guys?
I got one question for you. What the hell are you up to? What's going on here? You didn't train for 4 years. Now, all of a sudden, we see you posting daily updates on your little transformation experiment. What's going on?
You tell me, Dave. What do you think?
I don't know. I can't figure you out sometimes. So
really? What about you, John?
I thought we were the ones who catalyzed this whole thing. And, you know, the last time we talked to you, we were like egging you on to get going again.
Yeah. Well, you know, talk about the blog, first of all. I mean, it's just been a good experience to share what I'm doing with people around the world, you know. And this transformation just really didn't, it just blew up, Dave, to be honest with you. I mean, I called and spoke with you, and sure. I said, Dave, what do you think about, you know, if I get back into lifting and do this, you'd be like, hey, Kev, you know, I think you probably can put on some serious muscle. So I decided to just get back in the gym and started training and document it. And it's just been quite of a ride, man. I've been getting some really positive feedback about the blog. It's just blown up. And just sharing some useful information with people around the world. It's been great.
Well, the blog is LavroniReport.com. So if anyone wants to keep up with it, you update it daily, I think?
Yeah, every day. It's actually in real time, you know, as far as like when I go in the gym and I document everything and then come back and I write and I answer all the comments and upload the videos. So, yeah, it's real time each day.
Now, you've been, this is what, week four, week five?
Actually, John, I'm into the end of week five, yeah.
End of week five. And how many pounds have you gained?
So you're not reading the blog?
Well, I mean, not today, no. I mean, total. What's for the show, for the audience?
All right. On the real, I've gained, I weighed in last night, it was about 226.
Wow.
Yeah.
What'd you start at?
205, 206, and I say about 205 is, you know, because, you know, I weighed myself probably around about 12 o'clock, so I probably had some water in my system and everything, so about 205, 206.
Well, now you've gained, now the weight discrepancy is one thing, but your body composition has also changed. You put on a ton of muscle, and Dave and I have been discussing this, and you have amazing genetics and all, but we both agree, dude, you got to be juicing. What are you taking?
No, I'm not taking anything, to be honest with you, guys, serious. And matter of fact, that's something that I was going to talk about on the blog, you know, and because people are curious, hey, what's going on? How is this possible? You know, and like I thrown it out there, you know, I'm up for taking a drug test. So if you guys have any
hold on, Kevin. Hold on, wait a second. Don't bullshit us. Hold on. You serious? You gained 20 pounds in 5 weeks, okay? 20 pounds of muscle in 5 weeks. And you're telling me you did it 100% naturally.
Yeah, 100% naturally.
All right,
yeah.
You know what?
Come on, man.
You just mentioned something. You know, he threw it out there as a joke, Johnny.
Yeah, you guys don't believe me, huh?
I'm a little skeptical. But you know what? If you really threw it out there, you know, what if John and I sent you for, you know, well, how long are you going to do this little experiment for? 8 weeks, you said?
Well, yeah, I'm going 8 weeks. I'm going 8 weeks.
All right, well, if you're really telling the truth, and I don't have any reason to believe you're not, but I just, you know, I'm just looking at the transformation that's occurring, would you submit to, like, a drug test?
I don't have a problem doing a drug test. I mean, I will do a drug test tomorrow. It's no problem with, you know, I'm ready to go. The only thing that about a drug test is this, you know, and people have talked about this on the blog. They're like, hey, you know, drug tests can be easily, you know, someone can falsify documents, which I don't want any of that to happen. So the way that I would like to go about it is if there's a legitimate place, maybe All Natural Bodybuilding Association, which I don't know one, we have to do that research, or some kind of Olympic clinic or committee somewhere that's 100% legitimate, and these guys can make the announcement, and you know, so I think that's the way to go about doing it. But yes, I'm ready to take a drug test today, tomorrow, at the end of this transformation, anytime.
All right, Kevin, this is for real, brother. You're going to be tested for every performance enhancer out there. I'm going to call Victor Conte to make sure there's no way you can cheat. You sure you don't want to change your mind?
You know what, guys? Let's I'm not going to change my mind. There's no point I need to change my mind. No, not at all.
Victor Conti would be the right guy to call, John. I just thought about that. He'd probably know where an independent facility is, too.
Yeah, and he'd know what to test for.
Exactly. Or, I mean, the worst case, we could call Mauro DiPasquale, too. He would probably be able to tell us that as well.
Who's that, Dave? Now, you guys know I'm on the East Coast.
Yeah, so. Well, you know Mauro. Mauro is the guy who was the advising the WBF bodybuilders years ago. Vince McMahon had hired him on. He's a steroid expert, too. He could... He knows all about the testing and stuff like that. We just want to make sure, number one, you're not going to cheat, and number two, that the results will be official, you know.
Well, you know, I'm ready to do this, and I, you know, like I said, my concern is just making sure that it's going to be legitimate. Nothing's going to be falsified. And name the place and the time. I'm right. There.
Good.
So,
that's all right, we'll do it.
That's it. You guys really think I'm on something, huh?
You know, Kevin, I've seen you make some crazy transformations when you're getting ready for shows, but we know you used to use stuff then. So I believe it was a little more believable. Now to see, I mean, I'm watching you, and your arms look like they grew like 3-4 inches to me, you know.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's not just 20 pounds. It's you have changed your body composition. So yeah. You went from 205 kind of pudgy, now you're 226 and you're hard as nails. So yeah. It's more than 20 pounds when you consider how much muscle you've gained.
Yeah, the body fat loss and all that. So
Let me ask you a question. What did you start out lifting when you first got into this thing 5 weeks ago? And now, what are you up to right now? What are the weights at?
Well, when I first started, there's a video of me when I was trying to bench press 315. I actually got it halfway up. And I would have to say right now, if I went on 315, I did a video last night where I was just kind of playing around with 315 a little bit. And I banged it out for 2 reps. I probably could have got it for about maybe 4 or 5 reps if I wanted to. my one arm rows, I think I was probably at like 80 pounds. Now I'm pulling them back with like 140. It's pretty easy.
Wow.
If I had 200s in the gym, I'd probably grab them. So inclines right now. I started off, I mean, I was pretty weak, Dave. I was like, I don't know, I could barely push up 135 on an incline bench, but I'm ripping out 225 now for like 4 sets of 6, so.
That's incredible. Damn. That's really incredible when you think about that he hasn't lifted a weight really in 4 years, John.
I haven't, and another thing, it's pretty amazing because my back used to like kill me, man, and I was like, it's probably because of the muscle atrophy in my lower back, but since I've gotten back into the gym and started training, doing hyperextensions and everything, my lower back pain is gone away, to be honest with you. So I'm back into my squats. I'm starting to ease back into my squats now. The other day I had about 285 on my back, and I was just repping it out, you know, for like 6. So once I get up to like 315 and 405, you know, and start repping that out on squats and start throwing around 315 on a bench, then that's going to be pretty, that's where I can gauge to say, okay, you know what, now I'm in line, now I'm in target, this is a danger zone, because when I get at that point, then I can really start packing on some serious muscle when I can start throwing around that kind of weight.
So you're basically still weaning yourself back into just getting your tendons and ligaments strong.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I had to be very careful about that, you know, Dave and John, you know, going into this thing, because everything was so fragile, man. Everything was so fragile. Even, like, who I was, my whole persona, I was like, oh, man, I was kind of, like, doubtful. But then when I got into, like, week 2 and week 3 and I turned the corner in week 4, I was like, you know, this is starting to feel like I'm home again, you know. And spoke with a long-term friend of mine, and he says, hey, man, you know, you're going into week 5. I was like, yeah. And, you know, we mixed up a little potion, some natural stuff that we made this a little ingredient, and I took it, and it kind of helped me get through my workout, you know? So
what was in there?
What was in there? Actually, people have been asking me, a lot of the people on the blog and everything, hey, you know, what are you taking? So it's like an NO2 formula, Dave, to be honest with you. and we've been getting a lot of positive feedback about it. And I decided to make it available, you know, after my transformation. If they want to buy it, they can, you know, it'll be out probably about 3 or 4 weeks. So
this your little own concoction you made?
Yeah. Okay. It's just my concoction, you know, my concoction that I decided to put together. Because, I mean, I wasn't taking any vitamins. I wasn't taking anything, just completely natural doing this. And my body was just, whatever I put in my body, it just freaking responds. Like, so, you know, it helped me get through the, you know, it just helped me through my workout, get me some pumps and stuff going on, and decided to wrap it up and, hey, put it out there.
What are you going to call this stuff, like full-blown?
No, I don't even know. We're in such early stages right now. I have no idea.
Right.
I have no idea, man.
Will it be one of those drinks that you can also throw a shot of vodka into after a lid later on in the day?
Maybe some wine or something. You know how the Italian East Coast boys is. So. Yeah.
A little nitric oxide from the wine, John. You know that.
Yeah, right. Man.
Vino Viagra.
Now, Kev. Yeah, Vino Viagra. Now, Kev, where's your head, man? Are you like back into the zone? Are you like bodybuilding like you were back in the 90s? Or what's your mindset with all of this now?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, people, they might be like, well, why did you decide to do this or whatever? I mean, when you've walked around for like 18 years of just being completely like massive, you know, it's just a good feeling for me when I decided to walk away from working out altogether. And it was a good feeling being able to walk in a store and just wear, you know, a suit off the rack regularly, you know, because I haven't been able to do that. So I said, you know what, dude, it's about time to get in the gym and to put on some size. So, you know, I just jumped into it, and I started working out. And I just really started feeling like, I started feeling good, man. Something was like, wow, you know, you just kind of like wake up like you've almost been in a trance for a while. And my mindset right now is just very, very positive, you know, very, very positive. I mean, I'm feeding myself like I should be. My nutrition is on point, and my training is on point. I'm looking forward to going to the gym each and every day, and I just feel really good right now. Feel really good.
What's your diet like? What are you eating?
I'm eating very clean, Dave. Probably about 3,000 calories. Was that Dave? Did you ask me a question?
John.
Probably about 3,000 calories right now. Chicken breast, some fish, white rice, and just getting up, doing cardio every day, and that's it. And just training at night.
But now, before this, you were living pretty much on alcohol for 4 years. So, was your body in shock?
You know,
how did you? You must have just completely come out of like a cocoon.
Well, you know, it's funny you say completely living on alcohol. I mean, that's. Should I even answer your question now?
Those are Kevin. Those are your words.
Maybe.
Those are your words, man.
I mean, you know, hey, you know, I have Italian blood in me, so, you know, we love wine and having a good time with the family.
No one's knocking you, Kev. I'm just asking you if it was a shock to your body to go back to being a bodybuilder after that.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was, certainly. I mean, I've been sleeping like a baby. Sleeping like a baby, man, that's why I know I'm growing, because I'm starting to sleep like 10 hours a day.
Wow. Yeah. That's good for growth, too. Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, is this little experiment, as you call it, a prelude to you possibly getting back onto a bodybuilding stage?
You know, Dave, we kind of talked about that, competing and stuff at the Mr. Olympia. There's no plans. I have no immediate plans, you know, to compete at the Mr. Olympia or getting back on stage, but... You know, who's to say? You know, anything could happen.
You're not ruling it out?
No, I'm not ruling it out at all.
Okay.
You know, I'm not ruling it out at all.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Right?
That's exciting.
How old are you, Kev?
What's that?
How old are you?
How old am I? I'm in my early 40s, man.
Okay. Do you think at in your early 40s that, you know, if you were to compete, that you'd be able to, you know, hang with these younger guys? Does that ever enter your mind?
You know, I don't even know. You know, I know one thing, though. I know that I try not to judge myself. I have a way of doing what it is that I feel works for me. What these guys have going on today, I mean, they're pretty awesome. They're pretty incredible, and you have to give them their props. I just know that if I reach a point to where I'm repping out 405 on squats and I'm repping out 315 on the bench, I know that, or pulling 315 or 405 bent over rows, I know that that right there, it will put me in target to pretty much do some serious damage in this industry, you know what I mean, if I do decide to compete again.
The great thing that Kevin's got going, John, is he's got no injuries, and that's right. A key thing at his age.
You know what I mean, John?
Plus, I think he's taken an extremely intelligent approach to this and sort of like incrementally bringing himself back instead of just blasting in there, you know, full blown, to speak.
You know, it has a lot to do with muscle memory. You know, I walked off the stage in 2003 because I just said, hey, you know, I'm done. And I haven't really worked out since, certainly not to the extent that I'm doing now or taking in the nutrients that I'm taking now. And my body's just been resting, and it's just been healing, and it's just been, it really, really needed the rest. It just really responded in the last 5 weeks. And I'm feeling good about it. It's all positive, man. You know?
Now, after this 8 weeks is up, are you going to walk out of the gym for 4 more years, or are you going to be staying with this?
I'm going to stay with it, of course. I'm not going to walk out of the gym. I'm going to stay with it. I'm really, John, just trying to let my body take on its natural shape, and I'm kind of, you know, letting my body guide me to where it wants to go, if that makes sense to you.
That's cool.
No, it makes total sense. All right. Let's get this all on the table here. We kind of got a layout of what's going on with Kevin, what he's got in mind. He set up this little mini 8 week, you know, test, I guess, or experiment as he calls it, which is chronicled on LavroniReport.com, which everyone can follow along every day. At the end of 8 weeks now, he's agreed. Am I correct that you're going to go to a independent lab and be drug tested for performance-enhancing substances, the lab of our choice, and you will allow us to put these results online, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a lab that, you know, Dave, you guys are picking up the bill, right?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, it'll be a lab that we both agree upon.
Okay.
Okay. And we could discuss that, you know, after we get off the telephone in detail. But it has to be someone who, you know, the credentials are really, you know, we can trust.
Yes.
So that they don't say, hey, you know, Lavroni and RX Muscle and Romano and Dave, you know, these guys altered the test. We don't want that, you know. So if
I'm hoping
case,
I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm hoping I'm going to catch you.
So, and I'm going to prove you wrong, Dave. And I'm going to prove to you that with hard work, eating properly and training and getting the proper rest that, you know, this can happen. You know, it's no miracle. So let's set the test up.
All right.
You guys will let me know where I need to be and whatever, and I'll be there. Now, another thing, we don't have to wait until this thing is over. We can do it. I would rather do it sooner than wait until 8 weeks from now.
Okay.
Follow what I'm saying? Because people might say, well, you know, that gives them time to set up or whatever. We could do it now or we could do it later. We could, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm ready to go.
All right, good. I'm going to call Victor Conte. I'm going to make a few phone calls, and I'm going to find a place near your house, and we'll set it up.
Okay.
See, I'm rooting for him to pass it, Dave. I'm gonna challenge you on this one. I want him to pass it.
You know, I have a Dave Palumbo. Yeah. Come on, talk to me here now, baby.
Yeah.
My credibility is on the line. What are you saying, Dave?
Well, you know what? Because I already threw it out there that I think that you took something. So now I have to. You know, I'm stubborn. I'm also a stubborn Italian. So I gotta stick by my guns and play the bad guy in this situation.
Okay. Then if I pass this test, then what? Then what do we do?
Then we get you to compete. Then we keep inspiring you. Actually, if you pass this test, then you will be the ultimate natural freak. I think you will have assumed the new title.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone did this, John, would you say?
You know what? I can only imagine how amazing a Kevin Levrone comeback would be for bodybuilding if this cat can put it together and actually incrementally stair-step his way back into the fold, and that we would actually see him on an Olympia stage, you know, shaking things up. I can't imagine a better thing for bodybuilding than for that to happen.
It might reignite the fires in the bodybuilding world.
Yeah. Yeah. Telling you what, I don't think anything could be better than that.
It's like when Lou Ferrigno came back almost.
Yeah. Only better.
Did Lou Ferrigno take time off?
Yeah.
Or did he continue to train?
17 years.
I mean, did he take time off from the gym?
Oh, not to the extent you did. No way.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No way.
So this would be even obviously greater, and I'm sure you'll be placing higher than he did, but, you know, people just loved Louis, so I think that, you know, the fact that he hadn't competed in, what was it, John, 20 years or something like that?
17 years.
17 years, yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we could join.
But everybody loves Kevin Levrone, so I could not be possibly be rooting for you any heavier, Kevin.
This is like a George Foreman.
Damn drug test. Huh?
This is like the George Foreman comeback almost, you know?
Yeah, great.
He came back at 43 years old and won the world championship, so.
I don't even care if you pass a drug test. I just want to see you up there. If I were you, I'd do as much shit as you could possibly do. I'd get up there, brother.
Oh, guys, you guys are awesome, man. It's been great, man. You know, I just want to say I really appreciate you guys for having me on
So. Thanks, Kevin. People can once again follow this, all the progress on LevroneReport.com. And where can people purchase when are you going to start selling this little formula that you made?
Dave, you know, like probably about 3 to 4 weeks from now. Okay. And, you know, maybe I can come back on and talk about that. But right now, I just want my focus to be this transformation. And that's it. You know, with me and the Levrone Report and what I'm about, I'm not about any corporate agenda or anything like that. I just like to keep it raw, straight, very informational, you know, for the fans and the people out there. Because, you know, I'm in a position, and you guys are too, to where, you know, we can control our destiny. You know, we're not told by some big company, hey, you have to talk like this, or you can only do this, or that video needs to be edited this way before you can do it. You know, that's why I decided to do this, you know, because it's just me and the fans, you know, and there's nothing that's fake about it. It's all real. And, you know, it puts me in a position to where you can just be so truthful about it. You know that. You guys branched off and decided to do your own thing.
Exactly.
And that's what it's all about. It's raw, it's truthful, and, you know, they're getting Palumbo, they're getting Romano, and they're getting straight from the source, you know. So anything with me is just straight from Kevin Levrone and the LevroneReport.com. So I'm not about putting together any junk, but then again, I'm not about being pushed around by some corporate entity trying to tell me what to do. I mean, I'm not that kind of a bodybuilder. I wasn't put together like that. That's why I didn't pack my stakes up and move to California in the beginning. You know, I said, you know what, I can do it straight from Maryland. It's just hardcore work and dedication, and that's it.
And you did, and we will have you back here after the drug test to announce the official results, and I will be in contact with you, Kevin.
All right, thank you, Dave, and thank you, John, very much, okay?
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite,
improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements, the science of sports nutrition, has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com, the only supplement site you'll ever need.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Colombo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
Our next guest is the 2001 NPC Nationals overall champ. He's also the holder of 2 pro victories in the Montreal and Atlantic City Pro Shows. And he's also the holder of a powerlifting world record. And if that wasn't enough to tip you guys off, I don't know what it is. The man, obviously, I'm talking about is none other than IFBB Pro Johnny Jackson. Welcome to the show.
Hey, hey. Sounds good.
You got a lot of titles, man, in front of your name.
Yeah, except there's I own a few powerlifting records.
Oh, you do still currently?
Oh yeah, of course.
All right.
And different organizations. Actually, I go to organization to show out a little bit. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
We'll represent for the bodybuilders, because I get tired of powerlifters saying bodybuilders aren't strong.
Isn't he great?
No one really realizes that the lengths to which Johnny has competed as a powerlifter. It seems so almost like glossed over, but he's got a ton of records.
But John, you know what's You know what's interesting though, because when he's obviously his bread and butter comes from bodybuilding, so he really doesn't give a crap about powerlifting. So he'll go from organization to organization. He doesn't care who he pisses off. He'd never do that in bodybuilding.
Exactly,
and he can walk the talk, which is even better.
Yeah, definitely, and it's amazing because. you know, I'll go, there's some powerlifters, and usually the more upper echelon powerlifters that know who I am. And there's a lot of, you know what I mean, middle road powerlifters to guys who aren't really good that don't know who I am. So when I show up, they see a new face. So they automatically think, and then they hear that I'm a bodybuilder.
Right.
And so they automatically think, like, oh, God, this guy's going to bomb, you know? And so they start giving me instructions and, you know, don't worry about it. You'll be okay. And I'll act a little nervous, you know, when I get there and like, oh, man, I hope I do well. And they'd be like, oh, you'll be okay. Pat me on the back and stuff like that. And I just laugh to myself, you know, because.
And then he sets a world
usually
record.
They're not even close to, even my two lifts blow away their total out of three lifts. So it's pretty funny.
Wow. It's good to be underestimated sometimes. Now, I heard you, just from the background, we were talking before, you were at a pool party?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, not necessarily a pool party. Just I have two kids by a previous marriage. They're 14 and 15, and they're out here to Texas and visiting me now. And my bishop invited me over to his house, to, you know, for all of us to swim and eat and all that kind of good stuff.
Now,
and so that's what's going on.
You don't swim, is that true?
Well, yeah. I hate to say, but
from
yeah,
New Jersey, you got me. Not swim.
Hey, I got all this muscle. I can sink pretty good. You know what I mean?
I'm sure.
I can't swim, but I can sink like a star.
Now, when did you move to Texas? Because you were originally from New Jersey, right?
Correct. Yeah, I moved to I was in the military for 10 years.
Oh.
And I actually turned 21 during Desert Shield, Desert Storm.
Mm.
I was over there for 11 months, that first round in 91. But anyway, after I got out of that situation and went back home, I ended up, you know, reclassifying my MOS, which is a military occupation, and I got stationed here in Fort Hood, Texas.
Ah.
And I decided to stay, and I got stationed here in 97, and I decided to stay when I got out in 99 out of the military.
So you grew up in Jersey and you can't swim. That's what John was bringing up before. I understand the Texas guys. The Texas guys don't swim.
Why is that so weird? Jersey Shore? I mean, come on. Everybody's
I know. It's awesome down there, too, isn't it? Wildwood.
Yeah.
Man.
Wildwood.
Yeah, definitely.
You spend every summer
Ocean
there.
City.
Yeah.
I hang out all those places, but I can't swim a lick.
Wow. Well, now you're a new father, Johnny. Well, give us a perspective, because you obviously had two kids previously, but this is like a new life for you, kind of. What's the difference this time around?
Yeah, it's totally different. I hate to say, but I have to admit, you know, my first two, we were really young. I was 22, and my ex was 20. And, you know what I mean? And kids, this is a good commercial here. Watch what you do. Use protection. You know what I mean? Because, we didn't, and, we ended up with, two kids, and they're a blessing to us, of course. But, you know, it was out of wedlock and it was not planned. This one was totally planned. And yeah, you know, it was puppy love more than anything else with my, you know, previous wife, and I had to marry her because we had two kids, so it was the right thing to do, but it totally didn't work out, of course. But this marriage is awesome. I love my wife to death. She's my best friend, and we totally planned this. It took us a year and a half to finally have our baby, Georgia Corinne Jackson, and she's a total blessing, and I'm so in love with her, it's a shame. You know, I love my wife to death. I didn't think I could love anything else more than that, and man, it's incredible. It's an incredible experience. Man, I it's hard to explain if you haven't experienced it, but it's wonderful. Every day is a blessing, just getting up, seeing her and playing with her and seeing her develop. It's really awesome.
I feel guilty. I don't have any kids, John.
You have dogs.
It's funny.
John's got a couple, so he knows.
Cool. Yeah, he does. But he's got older kids though. Real old.
No,
huh?
No, I haven't. Well, my youngest is 9. So.
Oh, okay.
And,
cool.
Yeah, that's a full time deal. So I get to play both mom and dad.
Oh man, yeah. Fun. That's what I did actually. My wife's a librarian, and we decided for her to go back to, you know, work, and I was like, oh, I can take care of the baby during the day, no problem. You know what I mean? We can save money on daycare, all that stuff. Plus, I don't really trust anyone watching my baby. And Man, I screwed the pooch on that because it's hard. It's hard work, man. I'm trying to tell you. Wow.
It is.
Wow, it's hard.
Yeah, but, you know, you immerse yourself in it, and it's you know, it's really rewarding because you're with your kid. I mean, what better place is there to be, man?
Yeah, you're right, John. You're totally right. It is. I'm not exaggerating because it's really hard. It is really hard. But believe me, I enjoy every minute of it. You know, once the hardness is gone and she's asleep, then I enjoy every bit of it. You know, but while it's going on, it's just sweat and tears from me, not from the baby.
Well, speaking of sweat and tears, let's go back to bodybuilding. In 2001, you won both the NPC light heavyweight class and the NPC Nationals overall. Now, after pulling off a feat like that, you had to have been, as you know, an amateur at the top of the heap, feeling unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, it's quite a weird story that I have, actually, and it just shows you, you know, I talk to people and I tell them, I'm like, man, you really don't know what's going to happen in life. You know, one incident can happen that can change your path automatically, you know, or instantly. It's pretty amazing. And bodybuilding really wasn't my deal, you know, growing up. It was mostly football. Tony Dorsett, I love Tony Dorsett.
Yeah.
I love the Dallas Cowboys. I actually skipped the year of playing football because they couldn't get me number 33. During that year, they couldn't get that number 33, so I wouldn't play. The coach came by my house. He was the chief of police, and he used to drive by my house every day when he got on duty. He'd be like, I need Jackson, and telling my sisters or telling my brothers, we need him on the team. Tell him we need him. And I was like, hey, if you can get number 33, I'll play. But they couldn't get it, so I sat out. Yeah, I mean,
that's
that was my total passion. And then, you know, I worked out because of my brother, because I started getting in trouble and stuff like this, and my brother was like, no way. So he would pick me up after school and take me to the gym with him, and, you know, I hung out with him and his buddies and stuff like this, and they're a bunch of awesome guys. You know, the camaraderie amongst lifters, you know, back in the early 80s and stuff like this, you know what I mean? It was really, you know, those guys really came together and helped each other. It was amazing. An amazing time at the gym. But anyway, what ended up happening, and I actually went into a bodybuilding show when I was 16, and I got third in the men's novice when I was 16.
Wow.
And I just did it just because my brother was doing a show, so I just followed what he did and did the show. And I forgot my birth certificate, and then they said I couldn't do the teenage division because they didn't know how old I was. And I was like, I look older than 16. And he was like, hey, that's the rules. So I ended up going in the men's novice, and I ended up getting third, which was cool. And my brother ended up getting fifth, which wasn't cool. Because he was totally dedicated to it. And it kind of messed up our relationship for a little while, for about a couple of months, because you know how bodybuilders are.
Sure.
You don't want to get beat, and then to get beat by your younger brother who really couldn't care less about, you know, competing or not, you can imagine
How long were you training for at the time?
I had trained, I guess, before I'd done that show, maybe a year.
Which is him.
Maybe a year, something like that.
I hate you. And I was like, imagine when your brother.
He probably would have beat you, John.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty bad. But what ended up happening, to make a long story short, what ended up happening is he passed away in 99, or 98, I'm sorry. And so that's when I decided to get out the military, because I had, you know, right after high school, I went into the military in 89. And, and I was pursuing that. I was totally into that, and probably would have was going to make a career out of it. And he happened to pass away, you know what I mean? And so I decided to get out and pursue turning pro, because that's what his dream was.
That must have been hard,
you know,
for you.
One day.
Wow.
Yeah, so I jumped out. I just got out of the military and just, you know, revamped everything, and I had no idea what I was going to do, how I was going to do it, you know, how to get into a show, because it had been, I mean, I hadn't done it since I was 16, and I was 27 at the time. And so I was trying to remember what we did and what he taught me and this, that, and the other. Of course, I couldn't, so I jumped in my first show, The Heart of Texas, and of course, I came in after dead last.
Oh,
you know,
shit.
It was pretty embarrassing. But I embarrassed myself enough to say I wouldn't do that again. I would never get on stage like that again, which I have here and there on a pro stage, but we won't talk about that. Anyway, after that show, I pretty much went into Southwest Natural and three more shows and got nationally qualified. Sorry, my wife was asking me something. Of course, she was going to distract me while I'm doing this.
It's par for the course, you know? Johnny, we know.
Yeah. So, anyway, like I said, he passed away in 98, and then that's when I decided basically to just try to pursue turning pro, and I did in 2001.
Which is amazing when you think about the time frame that it took you. It was like nothing.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, well, it didn't feel that way.
Johnny, I'm still trying.
Yeah, you're right. And when I look back and see, you know, some of the guys and, you know, their struggles on turning pro and, you know, the length of time it took them and the dedication they really put into it, like a whole lifetime, you know, even when they were, like, young, like 10, 11, 12, you know, they were focused on it, you know, and I was
Dave wouldn't
focused
know
on everything else.
That.
Johnny, I did my first show in 1990. I had to relegate myself to a talk show host now.
Oh,
stay
no.
in the industry.
Hey, that's not too bad. Yeah, no. Hey, you're one of the most talked about, most respected guys, you know around, you know. Thank besides you. John. Thank so you know you have nothing to be shy about or worry about, man. You totally did your thing.
Keyword,
you know, no matter what.
Keyword,
you know?
Being talked about, John. Right.
Yeah, huh? as long as you're being talked
about. Keyword being talked about, yeah. But all right, let's just fast forward ahead. And now we go to 2006. You win your first pro show in Montreal. 2007, you win again in Atlantic City. I remember you. I was there. You look great.
However, I know you did that awesome write-up. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, no problem, man. You really did your homework there. But this is the point here, because I think a lot of people wonder. There's almost like two Johnny Jacksons we see. The one that looks unbelievable on stage and the one that, like, in the beginning of the year, that kind of, like, almost, like, you don't even remember after the show's over because he does so bad. Why do you think you have so much trouble, at least in the beginning of the year? It's like you got to get, like, three shows under your belt first.
Man, if I knew that, it wouldn't happen, tell you the truth. I honestly really can't give you a good answer on that, tell you the truth. I try, but I don't know. I guess I don't try hard enough. It really don't register, you know, in my brain, or it takes a while. I don't know. It really frustrates me.
Do you think?
Because I'm like,
do you think
man.
It has something to do with the fact that, like, you always think it's going to take less time to get in shape, and then it doesn't? And so you just keep going, and eventually you just have no problem dieting for a long time, it seems.
Well, no, I don't worry about the dieting. Doesn't bother me at all. You know, it does for maybe the first week, and I'm a junk food junkie. I love McDonald's. I used to eat 12 donuts a day, except on Wednesday, you know, every morning.
What's Wednesday?
And, six chocolate and day. Six glaze.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, I mean... And I think that was my problem in the beginning, was I would get so fat on the off season,
right.
You know, but my body, I carry it well to where you can't really tell how fat I am. But when I start dieting, I'm like, holy crap, this isn't coming off, you know, and it takes a lot longer than what I would think it would take, you know, because I don't look like I'm that out of shape. But then when push comes to shove, I am. And then I realize it, and it's too late. I'm right up to the show, you know?
It was like the old Lee Priest eating Kentucky Fried Chicken problem he had, yeah.
Exactly. But I'm starting to get a little bit smarter because I'm getting older. And, you know what I mean, try not to get out of shape like that. But it's hard when you power lift. You know, you need that extra cushion. That's my excuse. You need the extra cushion to help you lift the weight, you know, and to help your joints and stuff. Last year I got up to 278, wow. You know, on the off season. So that was way heavy for me, you know. And but this year, after the Arnold, I think I was on stage at 238, and I went up to almost 250 and maintained there. So I'm hoping with that change that these shows go a lot better for me.
Well, let's talk about
going into the Tampa.
John, let's talk about powerlifting for a sec.
Okay.
People don't know, but you may not know this, but you currently hold a world record in the deadlift. Isn't that right?
Right. Yeah, and out of the top 100, last time I checked, actually, out of the top 100 in the world, I was ranked third in deadlift. I was ranked fifth in squat. And I think it was like 12th or 13th in the bench.
Wow. And what organization was that?
WPO.
That's impressive.
World Powerlifting Organization.
Yep. Yeah, I won their Worlds after I turned pro. I think it was 3 months after that. It was at the Arnold. Instead of doing the Arnold, I did the powerlifting meet, the WPO World, and I won that, the heavyweights on that. And that's when everybody caught on to, like, holy crap, you know.
Now, what's your deadlift? What is that record? At what weight class?
Okay, there's a couple of them. There's one where I went into 220 weight class, but I weighed 216 pounds at the time. It was 3 weeks. Actually, yeah, it was 3 weeks before the Nationals. And I deadlifted the 816-pound deadlift. Wow. Yeah, I totaled a 2017 total out of all three lifts. It was 3 weeks before the Nationals.
Weren't you worried of getting hurt?
Nah.
Wow.
No worries.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
what was your squat?
Thick-headed to be worried.
What was the squat? What was your squat at that meet?
771.
Holy moly.
It was, yeah. Yeah, I remember that like yesterday. It was like when I was getting ready to do my opener. I was just thinking about this the other day, actually. When I was getting ready to do my opener, I shake really. I used to. I'm not as much anymore because I'm a high bar squatter. That means I don't put the bar down my back. I put it right up on my traps almost when I squat.
Right.
And when I do that, when I back out, I shake pretty bad. And I remember looking at this guy right up front, and he was like looking at his girlfriend, shaking his head. I don't know what he said, but I'm sure he was like, no way this guy's going to get that. You look at him, there's no, oh, it pissed me off. Boy, and I just stood up. I mean, I steadied just like that. Did that instant when I saw that, I just steadied it out, boom, and just sunk it. I mean, I went as far, I damn near, I don't know if I can say damn, but I damn near sat on the floor and then stood back up again. That's how deep I went with it.
If you heard the stuff that people say on this show, you wouldn't worry about damn.
Yeah, you wouldn't worry about that.
It's funny. But,
what's your biggest deadlift? What's the biggest record deadlift you have? Is that the one?
855 pounds is the most I've done.
That's insane.
It's awesome.
Five.
How many world records do you have total?
Three.
Pretty impressive for a guy who doesn't do this full time.
You know what? After the, I don't know if you guys remember, but I did the Night of Champions. Not the one I qualified, because I've only done it twice. The one I qualified for the Olympia for the first time, the one Victor Martinez won.
Right.
The second one I did is when they had the big hype with, Robert Jones.
Richard Jones.
That, when he came out and stuff like that. I think it was, I don't know what year it was, 2006 maybe, 5 or 6. I can't remember. I don't forgot who won that show, too. But anyway, I came in like 15th. I tied for last with like 50 other guys.
Right. That's the one Victor won. Didn't Victor win that one? It was called.
Right.
Wasn't that the New York Pro?
Victor won the one before that.
But it was called the New York Pro, or he came in second or something like that? What was?
No, it was the Night of Champions, the one that I qualified for the Olympia. I came in 5th.
Okay.
It was Victor 1. I forgot who came in 2nd. Then it was Craig Titus, then King Kamali.
I remember.
And then
show,
me.
Yeah. I remember.
You remember that?
Yep. And then I did another time. I did it. I don't know if it was 2005 or 2006, but I tied for last. Anyway, I had some water problems, you know, during that time. I really didn't know too much about anything, believe it or not, and I had no idea my estrogen level was through the roof, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get rid of any water at all. I was holding so much water. Anyway, a buddy helped me fix that, you know, and then I went to Hungary the week later and got 5th in Hungary. But anyway, before that show, and after that Night of Champions, I went home. I felt so bad, and I was like, "Man, I need to win something. I gotta get my confidence up. I have to win something." So I start fishing over the internet, and I seen that Iron Zone you know, the Florida show,
sure.
and then they had the Iron Zone deadlift challenge mm-hmm. With that show, with that bodybuilding show. So I was like, hey, that's it. I'm going to go win that. And I hadn't deadlifted in, like, months. I hadn't done nothing in months. I was like, man, I'm going to do it. So I took a couple days in deadlift, then went out to the meet, and I pulled a 804 I pulled out there.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
How is that possible if you're not even deadlifting?
I don't know.
You just have brute strength.
It's almost like, I don't know, with the show thing, it's just something that I have. And I've always been, you know, a weird, strong kid. You know, even when I give you another little story. When I was in eighth grade, going into ninth grade, you know, of course, I played football and, you know, I went to summer camp and stuff like this. And we had a bench press challenge against our rival school, St. Joe Catholic School in the same town in Hamilton, New Jersey. And so I went there. I showed up late, actually, and they still let me lift. And I ended up doing 305 at the bench press meet. And I think I was getting ready to turn 16. I hadn't turned 16 yet.
Wow.
So that'll give you a little example of how strong I was, you know, growing up. I always had that weird strength.
It's incredible when you think about, you know, that it just comes naturally like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me bring up something a little controversial. You know, we have Ben White on the show every once in a while, and
mm-hmm.
you know, he loves to brag about all his powerlifting feats, yet, you know, we haven't really seen him live up to the challenge that you had put out there for him. But you two will be standing on stage together in Tampa on a bodybuilding
cool.
stage. What do you think his chances are of beating you at that show?
Slim and none.
Do you think you guys will ever compete against each other in a powerlifting meet?
He wouldn't beat me there either if he did. If he got lucky enough to, you know, be able to compete on my level there,
right.
You know, he'd just be happy just to have been there to say that he had lived in the same ranks as I did.
Now, I know he's going to disagree with that.
Yeah, me too. I have a feeling.
Come on, can't we possibly sanction a liftoff between you two guys?
Hey, let's do it.
All right.
I don't shy away from anything.
Yeah, that's true. Johnny,
I mean?
Johnny will
do
it on
what
one
I
day's
do.
Notice, yeah.
Yeah, hey, even when, you know, that thing, I don't know if you guys remember, but that thing was going around about me and Ronnie and
right.
stuff like that, where
right.
I issued a challenge to Ronnie also. And this guy is incredibly strong. I lifted with him out in Hawaii before, and he's, my goodness, I mean, I was sitting there like, wow, you know, watching him, you know, and, but I went up to him in Strauss because I called Jim Mannion, actually. And I said, hey, Jim, you know, I want to give this three-lift challenge to Ronnie. You know, would you guys sponsor it if he agreed to it? And Jim Mannion said, hey, Johnny, if you get Ronnie to agree to something like that, we'll sponsor it.
Wow.
And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, wow. So I was going to the gym at the time. I got to the gym, and he was there,
yeah.
actually. And he was lifting the guy Dave or Dan or something like that, this guy's name was. And so I walked in, and I walked over to him. I said, hey, Ronnie, I just got off the phone with Jim. And he said, hey, if you accept this three-lift challenge, you know, they'll sponsor it. I said, man, if they raise any money, I said, you could take it all, or you could take the majority of it, or you could take it all. I don't care, whatever you want, because this is only going to help me. You
right.
know, because I was at the beginning of my career. And he was like, yeah, okay, we'll see about that. And I was like, all right, cool, man. And I walked away all smiles, and then the guy that he was lifting with, when Ronnie left, he walked over to me. He was like, man, that's not going to happen. I was like, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, after you walked away, Ronnie looked at me and was like, that's never going to happen.
Really?
You know?
I
yeah.
wonder why he backed off that.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. So I was like, oh,
wow. Jim Mannion was going to sanction it. Can you believe that, John?
Yeah,
that's
yeah, it was
incredible.
Really cool.
It would have put bodybuilding on the map, I think. Everyone would have watched it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, yeah. And like I told him, I said, Ronnie, you can take the proceeds, you can take the majority, I don't care,
right.
man. The only thing that's going to really, you know, push me forward, you know, really going to help
right.
me with my, you know, in the beginning of my career.
Right.
But,
wow.
But he had everything to lose. You know what I mean? I had
sure.
everything to gain, and he
that's
had
true.
Everything to lose
right.
and nothing to win, really.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. But he was lifting some crazy lifts in the gym anyway. It wasn't like the guy was afraid of getting hurt, you know?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why I thought it was going to happen. That's why
yeah.
I was so excited, because he's a monster,
right.
you know? And I watched him lift. He's guy's a monster.
That would have been great. That would have been great if he pulled that off. Well, maybe we'll do it with Ben White, John. We'll have to talk to him.
Yeah, you know, I'm telling
you, it'd be friendly.
You
know, it would be fun.
It would be awesome, and you know,
yeah, it would be good. But the only thing is, I wouldn't get there. There's no really big glory out of it.
No, but
they, I guess actually, we won't do it for that. We'll just do it for me to be like, ha ha.
Yeah, no, I disagree with that, Johnny. Because if you guys look at it this way, you know, everybody's always talking about how to make bodybuilding better, and you know what's, you know, people's personalities and whatever, you know, that seem to be lacking in the sport. And you know, Ben White is a tremendous personality. You do too. I mean, the two, and to add another element, you guys are going to be competing in Tampa anyway.
Yeah.
As bodybuilding, yeah. You know, the next day, let's do. You're not going to be able to. You're not going to be at the top of your lifting game.
You can't do it the next day.
Next day, are you crazy?
No, you can't.
What are you doing? I'm going to be my next day.
Do it.
Oh my god!
No, you got to give him a couple months.
Totally separate from bodybuilding.
You can do it.
No, after the Olympia, you do it, John. We set it up. We bring him into a neutral. Maybe we bring him into Metroflex. We bring Ben White over there because that's do it over there or something. Because
there's no way I would do it. I wouldn't take that. I'm too old now.
You're brittle, John. You're dehydrated. You can't do that.
Yeah, well, you can't lift as heavy, but at least if your legs right there, you could combine
you'll tear
the two
something.
Things.
You crazy?
Nah. Yeah.
John doesn't. Know.
What's the difference between 3 weeks before the Nationals and the day after the show?
Hey, about man,
20 pounds
of
water.
I was still in my 20s then.
20 pounds of water, too.
Yeah, all right. So I'm a jump, skip, and a hop from 40, so we got to slow down there.
How old are you?
38.
You're still all right. You got two more.
How old is Ben?
He's a little younger than that, I think. He's probably about 35.
All right, well, the good thing is then if you both compete in Tampa, then you can both start off from the same squares, well, you know, first peg.
I so hear like, you. Yeah, later, I hear you 3 months talking, later. I don't see your mouth moving.
I'm going to try to set it up for October.
There's no way.
October would be good, I think.
All
give
right,
him some time
months.
To recover from the Olympia. Yeah.
All right, John, definitely. You know, a lot of people wonder why. I mean, what did you say your squat was?
Well, my heaviest squat that I'd done was 826.
826 pound squatter is an amazing feat, you know.
I'm a high squatter too. Because I'm a high bar squatter, that's what makes it so amazing. Because I've been told by many powerlifters, there's no way anyone can that squats with the bar that high up can do 800 pounds. There was no way in the world.
Given that
because
fact,
it's all you're totally off balance. You know,
true. Yeah, true.
Given that fact, people, you know, sort of wonder why your legs seem to be, you know, not appear to be up to the task. You've got sort of like a straight up and down kind of leg structure.
Yeah, you know what? I wonder that like myself. It burns my butt. It burns my ass so much. It's so frustrating because I squat a ton. I can press a ton. I lunge around the gym with 315 on my back, you know, at least 30 or 40 steps easy, you know, and I don't know what the problem is. I have no idea.
And he's got good form.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's got great form.
I've been proved him the last couple of years, but I also gotten hurt. You know what I mean? And I don't say, I'm really kind of shut in. You know what I mean? I don't reveal a lot of stuff about me. And I tore my Achilles tendon on my left leg, and it's still jacked up. I never got it fixed.
Yes.
Anything, never got surgery on it. Yeah, it's still jacked. I still walk weird, or it feels weird when I walk.
I thought you had to get that fixed, don't you?
Yeah, you're supposed to, but well, I was all right. I mean, I couldn't walk for a few months, but I was cool, and I was getting ready. Yeah,
also, what year did you do that in?
2006.
Wow.
No, 2005. That's when I was working with Tom Prince. That's right.
Wow. No one even knew that. You kept it a secret.
Yeah, I just didn't say anything. And to do cardio, I just did the rotating stairs, the stair mill, because I could step down, but I couldn't walk forward. Like, I couldn't go, you know, heel toe.
Right.
It was impossible.
Wow.
So I only could go straight down, pick it up and go straight down. That was it. So I just did the stairs in pain and got ready for the Olympia. Just like that. And then a year after that, I was getting ready for a powerlifting meet, and I tore both of my quads.
What?
before I went to Italy. I tore my quad that Monday, and I flew to Italy 3 hours later for a week for the FIBO.
Holy in Florence. Shit.
Yeah, my legs were so bloody, so red and bloody. Oh, my God. It was horrible.
You obviously didn't tear it off the attachment. You tore a part of it, a piece of it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, well, it was more of the fascial tissue,
right.
You know, yep, than anything else. So that was really painful. It took me about 6 weeks before I could squat again, just squat with the bar.
Holy shit.
Wow. Yeah. So I had some really bad injuries, too, that really, you know, stunted my growth on my legs. But the last couple of years, I've been healthy, really healthy, and they've improved, and everybody's here at Tampa, and starting to get somewhat of an outer sweep and trying to match my upper body a little bit better.
So do you think...
Yes, yeah, it's been my stickler, you know, my whole career, my whole life, actually, my legs.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I think a lot of people think, like, you're superhuman. Like, everyone thought Ronnie was superhuman. Yeah, you got this guy, he squats 800 pounds, he deadlifts, you know, almost 900 pounds, and he's got no injuries. So you did have injuries you were dealing with.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I didn't even mention my neck. I this was in 2004. I was squatting, and, you know, when they say you should never look down when you squat, always pick a place on the wall or on the ceiling to stare at so you keep your head up. That is the truth. If anybody listening, make sure you do that, because like a dummy, I was squatting, I was doing 600 pounds. It was like my third, you know, set or whatever. No big deal. I've done it, you know, many a times. Went down, squat, like did three squats, went down for my fourth one. Coming back up, for some reason, I put my head down and something in my neck went pop.
Oh, man.
And yeah, I just threw the bar. I almost military pressed the bar over my head and threw it forward. And man, I just went down. And I ended up walking around for, 2 months? I couldn't even stand up upright. I pulled the ligament in my neck.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I had to walk around everywhere, you know, totally bent over.
So you had like a stiff neck for 2 months?
Yeah, and I could not... If you can imagine, you know, just bent over, I could not, you know, sit erect or, you know, stand up erect. I had to always, you know, bend at the waist because it hurt so bad to put that pressure on my neck if I stood straight up.
That's not good.
Well, you think you know a guy, you know?
He's not a complainer, John. That's why no one knew about it.
Obviously not.
You and I would be complaining nonstop. We would be complaining.
And I talk to Johnny like all the time. I don't know any of this about him, you know?
Yeah, man. Yep.
That's hard.
Johnny, how can people keep track of you? Obviously, we have. And do you have a website or, you know, for people?
Oh, yeah. My website is jojfitness.com.
Okay. They can get in touch with you for guest posings?
Oh, yeah, or jjfitness@aol.com actually is better. That's my email address, and that's the one I check constantly. And the website, I go on here and there to fill orders and stuff like that I get.
Hey, you
so
do
guest posing and stuff like that, jjfitness@aol.com.
You do guest posing appearances, obviously. You answer questions, too, from the fans?
Oh, of course. I love the interaction with the fans. That's the most important thing. I was just out in Calgary. I had an appearance out in Calgary and Edmonton 2 weeks ago. And I had a blast because that's one thing about it for me. I am a real private person, but when I am out there, I love talking to everyone just because I like people to get a feel of we're just ordinary people. You know what I mean? We're everyday people, you know, just like anyone else. We don't fly in from a different planet to compete and fly back. You know what I mean? We don't live any more weird than anyone else. You know, we eat, we put our pants on like everybody else, one leg at a time. And, you know, it's just what we love to do. It's just what we're passionate about, and we dedicate ourselves to doing it. And that's what's the difference between a bodybuilder and someone who just lifts weights. You know,
good
so
point.
I just like to show guys that, you know what? Actually, the Pittsburgh Steelers coach, Tomlin, his name is, right? Pittsburgh Steelers coach right now?
Sure.
He said it the best when he said, ordinary people do extraordinary things. And that's what it is. You know, that's all we're doing. We're ordinary people, but we're doing something extraordinary, you know? And that's how I feel. And we're no different than anyone else. And anybody can do it. Anybody can accomplish it. You just have to put your mind to it.
Do you think that this connection? Because I noticed you are very good with the fans. You talk to people. You're very personable. There are guys in our industry, and you know that are a little bit more prima donnas, and they don't really have that personable touch with the public. Do you think that comes from your upbringing? Do you think from the Army? I mean, from the military? Where do you get that from?
Yeah, all the above, but definitely my upbringing. You know, I my parents, of course, always taught us we're no better than anyone else, and nobody's any better than we are. You know what I mean? I grew up in very, very, very humble beginnings, you know, and I appreciate every little thing I have, you know. And then being in the military and actually being a pro bodybuilder now and traveling as much as I do, I get to meet different people, see how they live. You know what I mean? I've been to places where people don't have anything at all, but just as happy as we are here, you know? And, you know what I mean? It just makes you appreciate what you have and, you know what I mean, appreciate life and just, you know, reach out to people and say, hey, no matter what situation you're in, you are the one that can change it. You shouldn't look for anyone to drop anything on your lap. You know, there's nobody owes you anything. You're not guaranteed anything. So you have to get up off your butt and pursue it yourself. And if you do that and ask God every day to help you step in the footprints that he left for you to step in and let those guide you, you can't go wrong.
Good point, man. Good point. Now, we're going to see you in Tampa Bay, Europa, and Atlantic City. Is that right?
No doubt.
All right, man. Good luck, and we'll be there covering you.
Cool. One thing before I go, if you guys don't mind.
Sure.
I was working with ProBodybuilding.com there for a while, and I talked to a group of guys constantly every night. And I told them once I got on the radio show, I'll definitely mention them a little bit because they're big, big, big John Romano and Dave Plumbo fans. Totally.
All right.
And you guys got Iron Muscle. He's out in Portugal. Portugal he is. Azores Island in Portugal.
That same guy, John. That same
Azores,
guy.
Yeah.
I was talking about him the other day.
Oh, did he? Yeah. He emailed me online and stuff like this. Yeah, and so you guys got a big fan of that guy. And this guy, other guy, Baron, that he listens all the time. Also, we got a kid in Hungary, and I can't really say his name. Man, I can't even say his name. It's something weird. It's C-H-E something. Mm. You know what I mean? But, hey, guys, hello to you, too. You know what I mean? But I just want to mention those guys and thank those guys for coming in and sharing some things with me and sharing their lifting stories and stuff like that. It was awesome time. And like I said, they're big fans of the radio show also. So I just want to mention that.
Are you are you still working with ProBodybuilding.com?
No, actually, ProBodybuilding.com is not going to be doing anything anymore,
Yeah, I heard maybe they're shutting down the business.
Yeah, they're at least shutting down the chat side of it, and they're going to have some amateurs on doing a little bit of work. The website's still going to be there, but it's more of, you know what I mean, I guess, get on the forum and talk or whatever kind of deal. Nothing real big at all. So that's kind of sad. Because it was a good idea.
Maybe we can get you over there to RX Muscle to do a Q&A on there.
There you go.
All right, we'll set it up.
Happen. Definitely, man.
Cool. Yep, appreciate
email,
it.
You know what? My email, jjfitness@aol.com.
I got it.
Just email me, the website, and I'll get on, one day, maybe next week or something like that, just to, you know what I mean?
Say hello.
And from time to time, just to, get in there and talk to some people, and I can deal with all the stuff they got to say about me.
No, it's cool. I think people would appreciate having you on there, and I appreciate you doing it.
Yeah, definitely.
They will. People like you, Johnny. You're a very interesting, bodybuilder. You span both worlds with powerlifting. I don't know anybody that says anything bad about you, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a rarity.
That's surprising, but that's cool. I wish my wife was like that. That would help, wouldn't it?
That's a gray area, Johnny. You better be careful.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Get her on the website and show her how many people love you. Maybe she'll get the message.
Exactly.
We'll see you in Tampa.
Hey, she'll think I set it up beforehand. She'll think I called a bunch of people and said, get on there and write some stuff down for me.
You can't win.
No, you can't.
No.
Absolutely not, man.
All right, well, we'll see you in Tampa in 6 weeks, and keep up the good work.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it so much.
All right, I'd like to thank our guest tonight, Johnny Jackson, and of course, the one and only Kevin Lavroni for stopping by. Till next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.